Amen. The gospel of the grace of God. Our dear and blessed Elder William Liverman, whom the Lord has enlightened much. Amen. From the time that he followed his wife into these services. Amen. We thank God for his graciousness. I praise God for all the ministers that I work with and for those that are on our Watch Care Committee, Sister and Ella Nicholson, and for Ella and Sister Karen Liverman. Ella, Sister Karen Liverman. Praising God for them very, very much. I just told Pastor yesterday, we have been blessed with a wonderful, beautiful bunch of people in leadership and in attendance. We certainly praise God for you. And God is going to show his love to you right now as Elder William Liverman ministers the gospel of the grace of God, which is God's directive and word for us, the body of Christ. Let's receive him and the message with a hearty amen.
Amen. Thank God. Amen. Are you excited about Jesus?
Yes.
Amen. Come on, y'all. You know better than that. Come on. Come on, y'all. Come on. Amen. You tell those Detroit Tigers and the Pistons and Lions, you know, you ain't going to outshout me. Because what I have, amen, what God has already done in eternity. Amen. Right? Let everyone pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for the gospel of the grace of God. We thank you, Lord, for your people. We thank you, Lord, for allowing us to come together one more time. We're only here by your grace. Oh, God, we ask that you will just continue to enlighten us with the word of God. Continue to bless every person here, Father. Oh, God, let anything that is not of Christ, pull it aside, Lord. Let everything be done via Jesus Christ. We thank you for your people. We thank you for the love of God. And Father, we ask that you continue to bless our pastor and as he continues to recover, oh God, in this time of rest. We thank you, Lord, for continuing to bless his entire family. This is a cut in all the families. Bless everyone here, Father, in a special way. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank God.
Amen.
Thank God.
I am excited. So y'all bear with me. I'm trying to contain my excitement. I'm trying to. How many of y'all know, that God works spirit to spirit?
Yes.
And you'll see. I mean, I got here and Deacon Gavin was reading that pastor's pen. Amen. Some of the same scriptures that the Lord led me to say today. It's almost like, amen. Pastor's pen part two. Our mercy. But before we move further, again, we, as I mentioned, for those of you that's by way of the webcast, as you know, our pastor's recently had surgery a few weeks ago, and we are going to continue. He's home. He's coming along fine, but he's still, the doctor has him at rest, right? So let's continue to pray for our pastor as he continues to recover. Amen. We're going to continue to keep the pastor in our prayers. Thank God. But the ministry, amen. We're still going forward in Jesus' name. Because one thing I learned when I first joined the Grace Gospel Ministry 14 years ago, it's the message. It's the message. We must focus on what? The message. Amen. So, at this time, we all know every Sunday we get together, the title, Jesus is always the subject, right? Always, not sometimes. Jesus is always the subject. But if I had to choose a subtopic, Jesus being always the subject, we're going to go ahead. The last time I mentioned 3 weeks ago, it was the grace gospel versus the kingdom gospel. So I'm going to go in the same direction. I guess we can call this part two. Grace gospel, kingdom gospel, grace gospel versus the kingdom gospel, part two. And the thing about it is that everything begins with salvation. That's the thing that we're always ministering on is the arena of salvation. But you know what? If you miss these messages someday, you ain't going to know whether or not you're saved. Because you are missing covenants. Let grace be grace, law be law, kingdom be kingdom. Divide, put a line of demarcation, church. among these messages. Okay? So we're now, let me say this. Bear with me because we are going to do a lot of reading today. We're going to do a lot of reading. And we're going to, since there's so much reading today, the document that the pastor wrote some time ago, that which I'll be using in my message, we refer back to the document in 2 weeks. But again, since there's so much reading today from the scriptures, I say, well, we'll go ahead and delay that for the 2 weeks and keep everything on even keel. Amen? The scriptures that we'll be reading, is first of all, we're going to go to Galatians. As you know, this here was one of the scriptures in the pastor's pen. Amen. Galatians chapter 1, verse, again, we do a lot of reading today, but just bear with us. Verse 6 through 24. I repeat, we're going to read Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 through 24. And then after Deacon Gavin reads the 24th verse, we're going to flip, we can go to chapter 2 and read verse 1 through 7. Amen. So if you want to put a finger there, some of you may have a ribbon that divides your scripture. You can do that if you have that case. Again, Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 through 24. And then we're going to go to Galatians chapter 2, verse 1 through 7. Amen. And at this time, Deacon Gavin is going to be our reader. Deacon, King James Version first. You may begin, Deacon Gavin.
We're reading from the book of Galatians, the first chapter, beginning verse 6. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by revelation of Jesus Christ. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me. But I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter, and abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God, I lie not. Afterwards I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea which were in Christ. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preaches the faith which he once destroyed. And they glorified God in me.
You see, church, thank God. You see, church, what happened? Let's give you a little history of the book of Galatians. The book of Galatians is a very interesting book, because of all of Paul's writings, and you know Paul, when God gave Paul the message of the gospel, the grace of God, Paul's whole life was in defense of what that glorious message. But if there was ever a book where you were looking at spiritual warfare, where the Apostle Paul was in total defense of what God revealed to him, I mean, among mass confusion, it's this book of Galatians. Because in essence, church, in this book, you had two messages. And the leaders among the church, the leaders in the Grace Church, the Apostle Paul and Titus and Timothy, they were at war with the leaders of the Kingdom Church, Peter, James, and John. Peter was considered James like a bishop. In other words, they both were teaching and preaching what God gave them to preach. But if you do not divide these messages, you will be confused. So Paul, so you had the leaders there. You know, it's almost like you have the bishops, the leaders that come together and try to resolve an issue. In fact, my former church, I talked to a friend of mine just last week. My former church had their big convention in Detroit last week. And they told me 8,000 people, right? 8,000. Amen. Wonderful. But I guarantee what they would do with these big meetings, they say, wait a minute, there are some things we need to straighten out. So what, they have the leaders that will come together, hopefully, will resolve that issue. That's what's happening here. You had the Kingdom Apostles, whereby their marching orders, no, you are saved, but you have to do some works. Mm-hmm. Paul, the gospel of the grace of God, no, you are saved by faith only. So you had these messages that were missed, and they were causing a lot of confusion. Right. Now, what's happened today? Somebody said, why is the church today so confused? I tell you why. You missed these messages, church. There's no way you're going to have clarity or focus. Impossible. Now, let's go to Galatians chapter 2. Amen. Galatians chapter 2, verse 1 through 7.
Now we're reading from the book of Galatians, chapter 2, beginning verse 1. Then, 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. Mm-hmm. And I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately, to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. Mm-hmm. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. Mm-hmm. And that because of false brethren, unawares brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. Mm. To whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. Mm-hmm. But of these who seemed to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, make it no matter to me, God accepted no man's person, for they who seemed to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter.
Read verse 7 again, Dinga.
Contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter.
You see, church, what Deacon Gavin just read. Read verse 7 into the Greek, please.
Chapter 2 of Galatians, verse 7, from the interlineal Greek text. But on the contrary, seeing that I have been entrusted the gospel of the uncircumcision as Peter of the circumcision.
So, in other words, verse 7, the gospel of the uncircumcision. Well, we know whenever the Bible talks about uncircumcision, you're talking about referencing other nations, Gentiles. Yeah. The gospel for the Gentiles was committed to the Apostle Paul. Yeah. or the gospel of the grace of God to the Gentiles were committed to Paul, the gospel of the kingdom to the Jews were committed to what? The Apostle Peter. In other words, there's a line of demarcation in these messages. You see, what happened, we know the story, historically, Deacon Gavin just read, God pulled Paul aside for 3 years and gave him the revelation of the mystery. But understand now, when Jesus died, rose from the dead, went up to heaven, right? When Paul was basically given the instructions from the mystery, here's my question. What do you think was going on during those 3 years? They didn't have any knowledge of the mystery. So they said, we'll continue to preach. That's why they said, okay, you Gentile, you want to be saved? No, you have to keep the law of Moses. That's why you have all this messing going on, because they did not have the marching orders from Paul to preach the gospel of the grace of God. Because at that time, God had not revealed God. In other words, there was a window, a three-year window, church. So they were preaching the light that they knew. And that's why we should not get upset with people and say, well, you know, why don't they understand it? This message, understand, the Holy Spirit is a teacher, church. Right. Enlightenment comes from the Holy Spirit. Right. So there was total confusion. So when God gave Paul this message, he goes back to Galatia, church of Galatia. He sees all of this confusion. All of this confusion for the Galatians. He preached to his church that they were free in Christ. But now they go back to say, well, you got to keep the law of Moses. So wait a minute. In one account, Peter said, wait a minute, you were telling the Gentiles to keep the law of Moses and that yoke on the Gentiles. Why were you telling the Gentiles to keep the law of Moses when we couldn't do it? Not only could we do it, nobody could do it. The law was not designed for you to keep. Well, somebody said, you know, I don't understand that. Wait a minute. Why would God give something that he knew nobody? Why would God send Moses to Mount Sinai and God wrote with his finger the Ten Commandments? Why would God do that? Keep, in other words, that commandment was a conditional covenant. You keep the law, you're dead. Well, people don't understand purpose. See, the intent of the law, you keep the law, you're dead. That was it, church. You keep or you're dead. The intent of the law was to give testimony to the fact that nobody could keep it. Because we all depraved. So it's all about purpose. Now, here's what we're going to do. Now, Deacon Gavin just read Galatians 2 verses 1 through 7. Now, what we're going to do, I want you to go over to verse 16. Because you're going to see why they had a war. These messengers were being mixed, and it caused confusion. You want to be totally confused, you miss these messages. You leave, you go to one place, you say, well, I got to be baptized in Jesus' name to be saved. Or I got to do this to be saved. No, you put in a condition. One thing about the grace covenant, there are no conditions. Saved by faith only. Why? Because you're saved because God did it before the foundation of the world. Now let's go to Galatians 2:16. Here's Paul speaking.
Now the second chapter of Galatians, verse 16. Chapter 2, verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified.
A man is justified by the faith only, by the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. Did you read that into the Greek, please?
Now Galatians 2:16, interlineal Greek text. And knowing that is not justified a man by works of law, except through faith of Christ Jesus, even we in Christ Jesus believed in order that we might be, having been justified by faith of Christ, and not by works of law. Because by works of law, not will be justified all flesh.
Not shall be justified. What Deacon Gavin just read, church, justified, that's a present indicative. It's in the passive voice. That tells us that what? Who justified you? God did it in eternity. And if the fact that it's passive, you had nothing to do with it. The fact that it's passive, God justified you in eternity. You already, when God called you, saved you in eternity, he also justified you. One simultaneous act. Justified. Are you saved? Yes, but you're justified already. Oh, no, I'm justified if I wear my long dress. If I have, don't, oh, Lord, have mercy. Justified is not an external work. Justified is an internal work that God did for you, church. Now, in the essence of what God did, now I want you to focus on, because as we move on, there's a word called sagacity. Sagacity meaning the quality of being sagacious. And that is the spiritual ability to understand and discriminate between relations. It's the trait of forming conclusions by distinguishing and evaluating. In other words, God's people should be what I call sagacious. You should have sagacity in scriptures. But the only way you can have sagacity in the word of God is to know what belongs to you, church.
Amen.
You want to be sagacious? In other words, another term called wisdom. Wise. Wise in scriptures. Meaning, you have to put, going back to the pastor's pen, you have to put a high value weighing on Paul's epistles. Because Paul's epistles deals with life from the eternal view. Now, as we go through life, so in summary, God's people should be sagacious, in other words, wise in terms of differentiating the messages. And another word I'm going to focus on is glory and more glorious. Glory and more glorious. What we have is more glorious. And Deacon Gavin just read in the pastor's pen, it's a higher value rating. Why? Because it is more glorious than the other writings. Amen? Now, notice, when going back to the book of Galatians, church, Paul was at war with the leaders, Peter, James, and John. Understand, because they had instructions that God gave to them. And then Paul, when God took Paul away to Arabia, what God gave to Paul was bumping heads with what they had. I mean, they were clashing. Those messages were clashing. And we don't have time to go into all the details, but let me give you one example of a clash. Let's take up James. Now, I hear people try to reconcile. If you try to reconcile the book of James with what Paul said over here in Galatians, without dividing these messages, you will be confused. And I heard preachers make up stuff. They said, well, no, James said faith without words. You know, he meant, well, no, once you're saved, then you'll do good works. So you say, wait a minute, if you do good works, that's a criteria of you being saved. Oh, absolutely. What about God's people that were saved in eternity and they will leave this earth and won't do nothing in manifestation? They would just live, go to church once, twice a year, amen. Why? That's their course for life. Because in the essence of God's working, saints, everything is what they call a subjunctive aorist. In other words, everything that God did for you was a decree. You were saved in eternity. Everything was decreed. But the Bible tells you everything you should do. But then there's what they call an empty, the probability. The probability and manifestation is what God has decreed for you. There are a lot of things that you should do. There's the expression. God's people shouldn't lie, right? Come on, church. God's people should. And somebody said, in this situation, I didn't lie. Right. God's decree was already decreed, so in manifestation, it was purpose for you to do that. But what's the if it come? But what about God's people that's kind of, you know, tell a fib, right? Garrett, it was done in eternity, it was decreed, but in manifestation, God did not hold that depravity back for his purpose.
Right.
So, in essence, everything is what? Runs by the decrees of God.
Right. Everything,
church. So, let's look at an example of what was bumping heads. Let's give one example of Paul's message versus James' message.
Mm-hmm.
Both the word of God.
Both.
Let's go over to James. I heard so much confusion. Let's go to James chapter 2. Here's what I want you to do. Hold your thing in church to Galatians 2:16. Hold that. Hold your finger there, and then go over to James chapter 2, verse 24. Paul's message that he received, the grace of God, grace message. Mm-hmm. Let's look at what James received, a kingdom message.
All right.
And somebody, if you do not divide these two messages, James, okay, we're going to read, Deacon Gavin's going to read James 2, 24 through 26.
We're reading from the book of James, the second chapter, beginning verse 24. King James?
Yes, go ahead. Yes, King James, yes.
Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only.
What? You justified by works? Somebody said, James must have ate too much pizza. No, he didn't. That was the word of God. James, that was that kingdom message. So don't try to make up some church. James preached exactly what God told him to preach. In fact, this really wasn't James' writing. It was God's writing. James was just a delivery boy. James just penned what God told him to write. Keep going, Deacon Gavin.
Verse 25. Likewise, also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also.
What? Mm-hmm. Faith without works is dead? James says what? Faith without works. In other words, James writing, if you want be saved, you will say you faith plus works. Hold that. Go back to Galatians. Read 2:16 one more time.
Mm-hmm. Now Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. Interlineal?
Just go into King James, okay.
King James Version. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith or faithfulness of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified.
I think everybody's getting it, right? In other words, Paul says over there, and just read Galatians 2:16, that a man is saved, you're saved because you were saved. You were saved by faith only. What James is saying here, no, you were saved by faith and works. So you wonder why James and Paul and Peter, why they were clashing. Those messages were clashing, but they were consistent if you divide the Bible according to dispensations and covenants.
Yeah.
If you do not divide the Bible, you are thinking that you are saved, but you have to do some works.
Right.
And we're not minimizing words, because in that famous, the theme scripture in our church, Ephesians 2:8, for by grace I'll be saved through faithfulness. Amen. Through Christ's faithfulness. Not of works, lest any man should boast. You are saved by not of works, but by the faithfulness of Jesus Christ, right? In the next verse, Paul says, for we have been created into Jesus Christ unto good works, which God has before ordained. God had before a purpose. Some of God's people are going to do what? Are going to, in manifestation, they are going to do what? More works than others based upon what God has decreed. But in essence, Paul, faith without works. James, faith plus works. Somebody said, what's happened? In the kingdom messianic gospel, there is a works to salvation. But you know, if you look at this from our standpoint, in fact, if in Peter, James, and John, now John, amen, God gave John a little more light because, number one, John was 90 plus years old before he passed the scene. So what happened? John, because God showed John, the Apostle John, the whole view. So John looked back. When he was over in the desert, Patmos, John said, wow, look at this. Paul's writing is different. That's why John says, for the law came by Moses. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. John knew these messages have to be divided. But why? John was 90 years old. He saw the whole view. But a lot of those apostles left here thinking that they were saved because they got baptized. But now looking at our view, Peter, James, John, Bartholomew, they were all saved in eternity. So God has given you more knowledge than the apostles had that walked with Jesus. You have more knowledge than the eternal workings of God. Somebody said, how can you? Wait a minute, you mean tell me we have more knowledge in the eternal workings of God than Peter, James, and John? Yeah. All of them. Because they were locked into that kingdom gospel. And by the way, thank God, that is the wonderful gospel. We're going to get to there in a few minutes. It's a glorious gospel. So we're not digging up the kingdom gospel. Amen. Jesus Christ came and preached the gospel of the kingdom. But as I mentioned, I want you to think about two words. Glory and more glorious. Thank God for the kingdom message, but what God has for you is more glorious than the kingdom gospel. So do you want to focus on glorious or more glorious? Let's lock this in. Let's go to Corinthians, because we're going to see, do you want glory or more glorious? Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. That says a lot of reading, but bear with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 1 through 11. Amen. Keep this thought. Glory and more glory. Amen. Should our focus be on glorious or more glorious? Yes, Deacon Gavin is our reader.
Now we're reading from the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 3. Beginning verse 1, King James Version. Do we begin again to commend ourselves, or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you?
Mm-hmm.
Ye are our epistles, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart.
Amen.
And such trust have we through Christ to Godward. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God.
Mm-hmm.
Who also have made us able ministers of the New Testament,
mm-hmm.
not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. But if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away. How shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious?
Mm-hmm.
For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory.
Mm-hmm.
For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect.
Mm-hmm.
Had no glory in this respect.
Okay.
What was that?
You were in
the... reason of the glory that excelleth.
Glory that... The reason... Okay, now, verse 11. Do you read verse 11?
For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious.
What the things that God has, the things in the past, church, are glorious. We're not minimizing that, the glorious workings of God. But what God is saying, the things that remain, right for time past, but now, the grace gospel, God refers to this as more glorious. Now, looking at this, the workings of God, in fact, so what Paul is saying here, he's trying to get them to move from glory to what? More glorious. Now, in the same thought, if you go over the same Corinthians there, verse 5, verse 7, where it says, we walk by faith and not by sight, amen. If you look at the workings of God, church, it is more glorious to walk by faith than to walk by sight. It is more glorious to to worry about what God did for us than to worry about based on what things pop up in the matrix. Because what things pop up in the matrix can change any time, but what God said is decreed, it can never change. And what's so good? We walk by faith and not by sight. I repeat, it is more glorious to walk by faith than to walk by what? Sight. And the whole essence, this book in Corinthians, they were what? Sight seekers, the Corinthian church. They were sight seekers. They were walking by sight. Somebody said, why is it more glorious to walk by faith and not by sight? Church, we walk by faith. You don't want to walk by sight because in every situation, you can't see everything. You see one thing and something else. And sometimes you see what you thought you saw and it's not there. So you're going to depend upon that. We walk by faith and not by sight. Let me give you an example. I was talking to my cousin. I think everyone knows Dr. Bridges. He's Dr. Bridges' father, and you know, my mother-in-law passed away a couple years ago. My elder Karen's mom, my little brothers and sisters. So we had dinner, not lunch really, about 3 weeks ago. So we met in a restaurant. So I got there. So you know, I didn't go to the restaurant. They had the waitress waiting on two or three people. So I looked around. I did not see, you know, Dr. Bridges. So she asked me, did I want to wait or sit down? I said, well, you know, I'll just wait and sit down until for my cousin to show up. So I looked around. I didn't see him. So about 10 minutes later, the waitress sat me down in a corner booth. So I was looking. I said, it was about 15 minutes later. I still didn't see Dr. Bridges. I know my cousin. I mean, he's on time. You know, he's really on time. So I said, you know, I know there was an emergency. So I looked around. I looked again. And guess what, church? Dr. Bridges was right in the middle of the restaurant on his computer. He was there the whole time. Well, tonight you won't end. Depend upon that light that I, whatever anger was, my brain did not pick up that image. But when I sat down, there was another anger, and he was there the whole time. And I said, Jim, how long have you been here? I've been here 20 minutes. So now what? There was a body right there. And you're going to what, depend upon your sight? And that is the hardest thing. When I consult with doctoral students, and they send me an email and say, oh, this, you know, they took care of all the documents. Say, Dr. Livermore, I took care of all the documents, and they send me back with all these new revisions. So I said, wait a minute. Before you call the Calvary, understand, you mad because they made some suggestion, you're committed, right? Yes. And then when it comes back, they made new suggestions. Yes. Well, look, I said, I gave them this exam for my cousin. My cousin weighed maybe 170 pounds. I said, there was my cousin there that I did not see. So here's how I get them to calm down before they call the Calvary. I said, have you ever been in a situation with a family reunion, a picnic, or maybe you were shopping, where you were walking, you walked right by somebody you did not see? They said, we all been there. Based upon that angle, you did not see them. And then they get, so now, if a person weighed, let's say, 150 pounds, walked right by you that you didn't see, how do you expect you're committed to see everything in a fine print? What happened was this, and here's how you really get them to calm down. When you made the suggestions, they saw the suggestion that they recommended. When they give you these new suggestions, these were things that they did not see before. Because why? Your eyes cannot see everything in every situation. That's why it's more glorious to walk by faith and not by sight. Amen. Because walking by faith, walking by sight can change. Walking by faith never changes. So the grace covenant has no conditions. Kingdom law have conditions. Having a covenant with no conditions is more glorious than having a covenant with conditions. That's why grace is more glorious than law. Because what? Grace has what? No conditions. God did it all in eternity, church. All done by one decree. You were saved by one decree. So with the light that God gave to Paul, that now that you are saved, let's move into this what? More glorious covenant, which is grace. Now, let's go to another scripture. Let's go to Hebrews. Let's go to Hebrews. Chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. Let's move. Through the Spirit of God, Paul said, let's move on. Let's move on, church. Amen. Just verse 1 and 2, yes. Hebrews. Now, we know, church, we know, let's a little history here. We know the book of Hebrews is a unique book, right? Basically, Paul was referring to people that were, they identified with the law of Moses. Amen? And then the kingdom gospel, they eventually identified with the kingdom gospel. In fact, the message of the kingdom was, you no one could keep the law. So what, God got rid of the old law, the Old Testament, the law of Moses, and then it was the what, kingdom law for the Jews. Amen. In essence, but then here comes the grace where God, Paul said, let's move on. Many of God's people are still stuck on the law. Some are stuck on kingdom law. The grace of God, move on to grace. Move on to the more glorious workings of God. Verse 1 and 2, Deacon Gavin.
Now we're reading from the book of Hebrews, chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, King James Version. Mm-hmm. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment.
Okay, now Deacon Gavin just read, church, notice, he says, now let us move on into perfection. By the way, we know that none of us are perfect, right? Our perfection is only in Christ. But Paul was saying that word, the synonymous term for the word perfection, let us move on to maturity. In other words, let's move to maturity. And notice he mentioned the first two. Leave the doctrines of baptism, laying on the hands. There are some places where you're not going to go into that church unless someone lay hands on you. You're not going to, hey, get a prayer line, lay hands on you. Why? Because the thing is that if we lay hands on you in time, then God will do something in time. So, you know, lay hands. Lay hands, lay hands. No, in fact, with the maturity walk, you know that you don't need hands because what God has already decreed for you, he's done everything via us saying. So the maturity walk is, you don't need hands because what? You're complete in Christ. The doctrine of baptism. Some people are stuck on baptism. They'll leave in that, they'll go to their grave, amen, thinking that you have to be baptized. He says here, let us leave the doctrine of baptism. Let us move on to maturity, where Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Amen. So what? Let's move on to the more glorious work of what God did for us in eternity. Hallelujah. One is a glorious church, other is more glorious. Now, let me do this. I'm going to close on something that is amazing, because when this first happened, about 25 years ago, let me, in terms of glory, see, church, the way you think about your walk with God, many of God's people, when God take you out of the Tarrant Council, many of God's people have a distorted view of what God is going to do. You know, what he's going to do is what he already did. Now, let me say this, and I'm not knocking out Sunday school teachers when we were in the elementary school, but you know what, or when we were in grade school, but there may be someone in here that may have this thinking right now. You know, I tell you what, I'm going to point the thing at Elder Liberman. When I was a young kid, and when I was, first time I went to Sunday school, I remember, in fact, my aunt, Bertha, taught Sunday school. She said, now, you all be good. Because when you're good, one day God can take you to heaven. And I said, oh yeah, I'm going to be good. Because I can go one day way up to heaven. And I went there for many years. I had this thinking that one day if I die, God is going to zoom me a trillion, trillion miles away to this beautiful city where the streets are paved in gold. And I mean, I said, oh, let me. Oh, I can hardly wait. I want to be good. And we know, can anybody be good? No, amen. You know depravity, right? And it's I thought about this story when I was a kid. When I was, during that same time, I was listening to the song, beautiful song, Looking for a City. See, we need to move from Glory Church to More Glorious. And this song was so beautiful, Looking for a City. And this brother, John Starnes, had this gifted voice. I mean, gifted voice, he was singing, Looking for a City. And then the 80s, Jimmy Swaggart was singing. I mean, this gifted, piano. I mean, play that piano, moving. I said, he was singing, Looking for a City. There were thousands of God's people there, clapping their hands, saying, Looking for this city. Thousands looking for this city. In fact, what I thought, in closing, let me show you the words. I'm going to read the words. See, I told you earlier we can do it. We have a lot of reading today. Here, let me give you the words for that city, because this is where God's people have their focus, where we need to have our spiritual focus. Just bear with me. I'm going to read the lyrics in this song, Looking for a City. Here it goes. Just bear with me. Here among the shadows in a lonely land, we're a band of pilgrims on the move. Burdened down with sorrow, shone on every hand, looking for a city built above. Looking for a city where we'll never die. There are the sainted millions, never say goodbye. There we'll meet our Savior and our loved ones too. Come, O Holy Spirit, all thy hopes renew. Here in disappointment, we so gladly roam. Friends no longer speak one word of love. Oh, we have found contentment. Jesus promised us a home, and I'm looking for a city built above. We're looking for a city where we'll never die. There the sainted millions never say goodbye. There we'll meet our Savior and our loved ones too. Come on, Holy Spirit, all our hopes renew. And then the song closes, says, in this land of dangers, going here and there, trusting in the blessed Savior's love, though we may be strangers in this world of care, looking for a city built above. We're looking for a city where we'll never die. There the sainted millions never say goodbye. There we'll meet our Savior and our loved ones too. Come on, Holy Spirit, all our hopes renew. Come on, Holy Spirit, all our hopes renew. And this brother John, he was singing that song. Thousands of God's people were singing. Members in the body of Christ, we're looking for that city. And Swagger was playing the piano. And I said, boy, that brother's got a gift for somebody. You know what? Speaking of that, I had a legalistic brother say, yeah, he's got a gift. But Swagger messed up. So God should have taken that gift from him. And I said, brother, let me tell you something. Look, if God took away every gift from any of us, that any time we mess up, nobody would do nothing, because we all mess up. So I say, leave Swagger alone. Look, that's the image of God. The man has a gift. You know that. I mean, his cousin Jeremy, they could play that piano. They were left looking for that city. But here's one thing they missed. By the way, I'm not knocking that song. But see, in the spiritual view, church, that's a beautiful city. But let me show you why so many, there were thousands of God's people. Let's look at this city. And let's look at this city. And then we'll see why they were shouting. Because many of God's people, they need to move on, church. And we're going to close with this now. Let's look at this city. Please, amen. Bear with me. Deacon Gavin, go to Revelation 21, verse 1 and 2. What about this city? We're not. Thank God it's a glorious city, church. So let's look at, they were looking, what about this city? Amen. Revelation 21, verse 1 and 2. He was saying, do not divide the messages. Revelation 21, 1 and 2 first.
The book of Revelation, chapter 21, verse 1 and 2, King James Version. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea.
Verse 2.
And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband.
You see, when I was a little kid, church, my Sunday school teacher told me, William, you be good, make heaven, and you're going to zoom trillions of miles away. Wait a minute, right here. God is going to bring that New Jerusalem down from heaven to the earth. It's going to be in the earth, church. Now, it's a beautiful city. Let's go ahead. Verse 10 through 23. Now, class, bear with me, church. These are the descriptions of this city. And that is why the church, many years, have focused on, oh, this is going to be our eternal home. Why? Let's look at this. Let's look at some characteristics of this city. And people say, oh, that is so glorious. Go ahead, Deacon.
Go ahead. Now, verse 10 of Revelation 21.
Mm-hmm.
And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like a stone most precious, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names were written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, and on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lieth foursquare, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel.
Mm-hmm.
And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold.
City pure gold.
Like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones.
Mm-hmm.
The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third a chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth a topaz, the tenth a chrysoprasus, the 11th a jacinth, the 12th amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls.
12 pearls.
Every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof.
Deacon Gavin just read, church, the characteristics of that glorious city. And many of God's people say, oh, the gold, streets paved with gold, there'll be no more need of sun, because the glory of Jesus Christ will light that city. And people, because people say, oh, they think about the pavement, the streets full of gold. Oh, they say, Lord, one day, I'm going to be in that city. But let me tell you this. What God has for you as a member of the body of Christ is more glorious than that city. I'm going to say this again. What God has for you as a member of the body of Christ is more glorious. And the natural man would say, what can be more glorious than the pearls and the streets of gold and Jesus Christ shining? What can be more glorious than that? I'm glad you asked. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. Amen. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. Because let me say this. That city, church, is the fulfillment of the promise that God made to Abraham. And notice, Deacon Gavin just read. He read John, the Apostles of the Lamb. That city is the city by way of the kingdom, messianic gospel. God is going to one day bring that new city to the earth. That is the promise that God made to Abraham. But God had made promise to you, a more glorious promise. And we are not minimizing a beautiful city. Amen. Thank God for that. But what God has for you, the member of Christ, the member body of Christ, is more glorious than what he has in the, what, in that new city. But what has God's people been done over the ages? I've been there. One day I'm going to go to that city. I'm thinking of God's going to zoom me a trillion miles away and the city's going to come down. But what about us, the body of Christ? Go to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1 and 3. We're going to close here. Go to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1 through 3. Paul and Apostle.
Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with each and every spiritual blessing.
Where are these blessings, church?
In the heavens.
In the heavens. Leave those places, because the King James brother tried to make it what? Physical. Leave those places. Read it. Let's leave those places, please.
In the heavens.
The heavens.
In Christ.
In Christ. In closing, church,
yes.
What God has for you as a member of the body of Christ,
yes,
is more glorious.
Oh.
You being in Christ,
yes,
is more glorious than you being in the city.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Now, somebody say, will I be there? Will Christ be there?
Mm-hmm.
You'll be there to the degree that you're in Christ. But that city has limitations. Deacon Gavin measured the limitations. That city is confined to the earth. Your position is not confined. You are in the heavens in Christ, and there is no limitation.
Yeah, yeah.
That city is limited.
Yeah.
You are unlimited because you are in Christ.
Hallelujah.
So,
hallelujah.
Glorious city.
Hallelujah.
One day. One day, glorious city. For Israel.
Yes.
For the Commonwealth of Israel.
Yes.
And we'll be there because we're in Christ. But everything, the solar system, the universe, everything is in Christ, and you are in him, so there are no limitations. Because you're in the heavens in Christ, there are no limitations. So, to be sagacious in the workings of God, to be have the spiritual wisdom, to be sagacious with the wisdom, discernment, move from law, move from law kingdom, and move to grace, and you will be sagacious, and the Lord will give you the enlightenment to understand that the only gospel that should be preached in this dispensation is the gospel of the grace of God.
Yeah.